Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 12th. Joining us this morning is newly minted District Attorney Stacey Eads.
Good morning.
Good morning. You don't even show signs of the press on you anymore. Money. Okay, never mind.
All right.
We'll go just straight to why do we say it? Are you, okay. You ready for that?
Not really, but let's
go. Good. Okay. Mascot. Where do we get the word mascot?
Every time, it's just this dead silence, because I don't even want to begin to guess.
It's a big club. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
all right. French composer Edmond Audran was all but unknown until he produced a hit in 1880. Audiences in Paris applauded his Les Mascot, titled after a provincial word for a witch. Uh-oh. The central character had such good luck that opera goers knew it had come from a supernatural source. Offered throughout Europe, the title of the opera came to label any object or person bringing great good fortune. An early mascot might be a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover. Gradually, the vivid label was associated with animals and birds believed to bring luck. Schools, clubs, and sporting groups used them to represent their teams and bring good fortune. As a result, many an athlete who never attended an opera trusts in the feathered or furry mascot that helps the team to win. Gee, and you didn't know that one, huh?
I that was what I was going to guess.
I thought so. Yeah. So about this time, I should ask you, what's the district attorney's mascot?
That's not fair.
Okay, fine.
Lady Justice.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So who is Stacey Eads?
Wow, that's a...
You should know this answer.
Well, I am Stacey Eads, so thank you for that. And I'm currently the district attorney. I'm in my second week. And a couple weeks ago, I was the assistant district attorney. Been in office, in the office as a whole for going into my 22nd year. And it's an exciting time for me.
Following someone like Maggie has got to be daunting. What kind of takeaways do you have from the time that you had with her?
Well, I've had Maggie as a mentor since the first day that I ever came into the office. So she was there when I initially interviewed as a prospective deputy district attorney. I interviewed with Terry Farmer and a number of seasoned, experienced prosecutors that were in the office at the time, and Maggie was one of them. And she was the first to take me under her wing and greeted me on the first day and introduced me to the courtrooms and the process. And she was there ever since. And although she's now retired, and I certainly want her to have the opportunity to enjoy that, I know that she's a valuable resource. It's still there for me in the office and the community as a whole.
That's one of the things I think a lot of folks perceive happens. New person comes in, door closes on the old person, it's over. And I would suspect that that's probably something that is almost like the worst fear of the person coming in, whether it's like at the assessor's level or the tax collector or sheriff or district attorney. I mean, any of the department heads. Is there interest from her to continue kind of playing out? I know she kind of indicated that last month when she was in. Has anything been formalized so that you still see her every once in a while?
Nothing formal, but I think she's done an excellent job of making it very clear to me that she'll be an ongoing resource, and I'm very appreciative of that. And that was certainly a factor that I took into consideration when I made the decision to run for district attorney and to take on this duty, I suppose.
Changes. If things are going smooth, oftentimes it's fine-tuning. Yeah, a little here, a little there. Okay, no significant. If things are not going smoothly, big changes. What's on your change list?
Well, the first thing that I think is important for me to do is to continue to build the relationships that are necessary to do the job right. So that's a top priority for me in the office, to have a really good sense and a good overview of the how the office runs and functions. As the district attorney, the role's quite a bit different than in the courtroom, deputy district attorney litigator. I was able to be exposed to quite a few of these different roles and just keeping the office running as assistant district attorney, but naturally that's, you know, expanding as the district attorney. So I didn't sit down and make a big change list, but I've made it very clear that I'm open to input and we'll have to adapt, you know, as new laws come our way and changes come our way. So I am just mostly really appreciative of the fact that I have a really supportive team and I feel that I'm not doing this alone.
I would suspect I would think that the unanticipated, the stuff from the state, law changes that are totally unexpected come in and from right field and all of a sudden you're having to react and adjust. Is there anything out there on the horizon that you see that could be a wild card coming in that really could change the way the day-to-day activities of the office?
Well, I think that just knowing that there could be a wild card is an important part, and just sort of having a good foundation and a sense of stability and to know what my resources are to address those issues as they come our way. There's always change and there's always, you know, kind of the one constant. And I think everyone can appreciate this with our weather that we've been experienced. But I think chaos is sort of the constant, you know, that there's always going to be a lot happening and there'll be change. But as long as we have that stable foundation, we can persevere and do our jobs.
Yeah. Is case law really problematic as new cases are settled, or is that more fine-tuning of how things are going to be determined in the future?
I wouldn't characterize it as problematic, but it's just part of what we deal with. And sure, there are rulings that make us feel that we can do our job better in law enforcement and some that make it a little more challenging, but we have to adapt.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Stacy Eads. Stacy, we've heard that there are different associations and groups and things of that nature that exist for various purposes. The supervisors have got CSAC. You know, there's the rural guys for the rural counties, things of that nature. Does district attorney, do you folks also have the state associations that you can reach out to maybe increase your knowledge base or at least, what do I do now? Panic moments?
Absolutely. So I think one of the primary resources that we have is the California District Attorneys Association. So they provide us with most of our trainings, either in person, and now they also offer quite a few that are remote trainings, which is helpful as well. So we can meet all of our continuing education requirements. And also it's a good networking opportunity and throughout the state. There's also the National District Attorneys Association, which I'm a member of as well, which I intend to take advantage of, and I'm looking forward to going to some trainings offered by them as well, just to see what folks are doing across the country.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the two are very, very similar, or if there's different challenges based on the geographic areas. Is the national focus on federal law exclusively, or is it a compilation of 50 states?
No, it's a compilation, and I think that there are a lot of course, some federal law that, you know, the United States Constitution and case law that comes down that might impact all folks in law enforcement and district attorneys, and probably some of the, you know, more universal issues that district attorneys across the country might be attempting to address, and helping law enforcement as a whole improve how we serve our communities.
The U.S. Constitution. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the state folks, are there, every county's got a DA, right? Even the small little itty bitty guys?
Yes.
Okay, so there are 58. When you're at those gatherings, you know, the resources that are available there, are they applicable for all different counties, or is there a lot of the stuff that's focused on the large counties, similar to what Rex Bone and his group has with the rural counties? Is there a distinction or delineation there?
I think that, you know, naturally some counties have more resources, and so they might have units and divisions within their offices that address particular issues that come our way. And whereas with the smaller and medium-sized counties, we don't have that same luxury. We're all a little more general practitioners, if you will. And so we also have a rural counties conference, so with the district attorney's offices, so we can, you know, discuss those particular issues that might be more relevant to the smaller offices.
Like they involve trees, as an example. Yeah, okay. What's the biggest issue that's out there right now that your office is dealing with?
I don't feel that I have one biggest issue. I think something that's, you know, again, probably something that folks well beyond the district attorney's offices are addressing is just having folks that want to come and do the work that needs to be done. So recruitment and
hiring. Not the ghosting thing.
So, but, you know, at the same time, I feel like we've had some really good applicants for various jobs within our office. And so I think that I'm hopeful that the tide is turning a little bit as we come out of the impact of, I think, COVID in the economy. So I'm hopeful, and I see that as something that we will improve over time so we can provide the services we need to provide for the community.
A lot of folks have made comment that Humboldt County is like the training pool or the kiddie pool for those that then go on to bigger and better. Is that true with the district attorney's office also? Is there a desire to move on by a lot of folks, or do you kind of lock into the county that you like, lifestyle and all that stuff, and that tends to be where you stay?
You know, in my over 20 years of being within the office, I certainly have seen lots of deputy district attorneys come and go over time, some of whom made a two-year commitment to the office, and they stayed and did their 2 years as prosecutors and then went on to whatever other area of law or whatever other region that they wanted to make their life within. But at the same time, at this point in time, I feel like we do have a number of prosecutors who are, you know, put their roots in and are very committed to Humboldt County. And I expect we'll stay within Humboldt County so long as that continues to be an opportunity for them.
I would think that that there's some efficiencies once you're in an office for a while, you know who the players are, you know the community, that it becomes maybe not easier because you know what's going on, but more efficient with your time, so you feel like you're getting more stuff done.
Oh, sure. It can be more efficient. You know what you're doing. You know the players. And at the same time, you know, Humboldt County is a special place. And I think lots of folks get the opportunity to fall in love with it and want to stick around.
So the mold does attack. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Stacy Eads. Title feel good yet? Or still a little uncomfortable?
The title, I don't think that terribly much about, but it feels like a privilege and it's an honor. In terms of being in the office, I feel like it's somewhat natural to me, and it feels like I'm where I belong. So that's good. I'm happy that's how it feels.
Yeah, so you're not running from the building each night at the end of the day.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Good. Okay. As you look at the rural counties, are there special challenges that, other than having generalists, I'm thinking with the hiring and the recruiting. Yeah, we hear from Billy Hansel that it's tough to get cops, tough to get them to stay. They're always moving around. We hear that from the cities also. Is recruitment that tough, or is it a lifestyle of those that have chosen to be in the legal profession? And if Humboldt County hits that, it's almost a no-brainer for them.
Well, recruitment is tough. Historically, Humboldt County hasn't had necessarily competitive salaries as compared to other counties for folks that are coming out of law school who are thousands of dollars in debt in obtaining their education. So, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges is being able to afford to come and work and live here. But, you know, clearly the big draw for folks is the opportunity for a lot of outdoor recreation and the beauty of Humboldt County and the fact that when we refer to commute, we might be talking, 15, 20 minutes. You know, of course, some folks live a little further out and so it can be longer. But, you know, we really don't have a commute, you know, here in Humboldt County. And so, you know, it's a great lifestyle. And so folks that take the time to learn about that and appreciate that, then I think once they come and they adjust to Humboldt County, they often want to stay.
You mean the lack of neon?
It's just getting people here to, you know, actually see it is a bit of a challenge. So with folks that are interviewing with the office, but we strongly encourage people to come and see it for themselves. And
yeah, I would think it would be tough for them to accept a job if they've not actually walk the beach or put mud on their shoes or whatever and actually see and feel what the community is. I mean, is that abnormal for people to take a job that haven't been here to see what it's like?
I think most, you know, I'm just referring to like the initial interview that folks might do, because once they start looking into traveling to Humboldt County, say from Southern California, other...
It's how far away?
Yeah. How much is that plane ticket going to cost? And, you know, or even, you know, well, I'm coming from the Bay Area and it's going to take me 5 hours to drive. It's like, absolutely. And it's a beautiful drive. We'll see you on Friday. You know, I think that and then I don't hear complaints about it. People usually are impressed with the local community in that area. So we're blessed.
the law enforcement folks will talk about, if you're here, you get a wide variety, you get a little bit of everything. Because we got so many, it may not be a lot of whatever, but we got a lot of the variety. Is that something that's an attraction for lawyers and for district attorney, or deputy district attorneys, or is that something, do most like to specialize in one area, and rather than be that generalist that you referenced to, they would rather specialize in one niche and just, you know, what is it, thin but deep instead of wide and shallow?
Sure. I think it depends upon the individual, of course, and I can certainly appreciate the desire to specialize and become a true expert in a particular area of law. You know, and I had the opportunity to work within our sexual assault and child abuse crimes unit for a number of years. And really, even as the juvenile prosecutor, I handled those types of cases as well. So that became a bit of an area of expertise for me. And I enjoyed that and found that to be very rewarding. And it's a particular area that is not for everyone. And some folks were pretty adamant about not wanting to deal with those types of cases because they're tough. They're really tough, emotionally tough, and also can be very difficult in terms of presenting the evidence and you know, working with the victims and having the right degree of compassion and understanding, which is necessary, of course, and it's a very important aspect to handling those cases. So I can appreciate that particular appeal, but at the same time, I think within, you know, our office, you do have to be a bit of a general practitioner and able to, you know, go from a DUI to a sexual assault to a residential burglary to embezzlement type cases. So yeah, we get to do it all. And I think that keeps it interesting as well. And so it's part of why I love working in the area of law as a whole, is there are changes, and that keeps, it just keeps it intellectually interesting and motivating to be doing things that aren't necessarily all about money or reward, but, you know, truly have impact on people's daily lives.
Well, I would think in a smaller community, I mean, say Alturas, I mean, if we really want to go tiny, you see the impact almost the next day, or you feel like it's there, rather than if you were in a San Francisco or Los Angeles or San Diego or Sacramento, you're one of a crew of God knows how many people, and you know, you pull one bad guy off the street, do you really ever see that bad guy not there? Probably just a different perspective, huh?
Right. We do see the impact, and I think that's an advantage to the work that we do, and it's also something that we have to be very aware of, very cognizant of, because the decisions we make do, in fact, impact the quality of life for real people in a big way.
And you see the real people instead of, you know, hitting I-5 and driving, and you're part of tens of thousands of people.
Yes, it's a tremendous responsibility.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Stacey Eads. What's the biggest misconception of criminal justice or district attorney's offices that we have on the outside looking in?
That's another tough question, what the biggest misconception would be. I think just generally, probably exactly what it is that we do. So I think that it can be difficult for any profession, for outsiders, to kind of know the intricacies of the work that we do. But I think that, you know, one misconception that might be that we're just striving to achieve convictions and send folks off to prison. And that's very much not necessarily the case. Of course, those folks that for the purpose of consequences and public safety that do need to be incarcerated, we make our best efforts to make that happen. But at the same time, you know, we do a lot of review of cases. We do a lot of things, cases that we might not file, or we reach, you know, resolutions that take into consideration individuals, you know, offenders' background or lack of engaging in prior criminal behavior, or someone that truly expresses remorse or, you know, wants to engage in rehabilitation and treatment to change their behaviors and accept responsibility. So there are a lot of avenues that we can take that reach a just result. And also just taking into consideration not just the perhaps the community's perspective as a whole is what should be the outcome, but the personal perspective of the victims and whatever circumstances they might have as an individual. Some, you know, folks that are a little more vulnerable within our community who might be victimized might have some particular challenges that would make testifying in court a little different for them than it might for other folks. So every case is looked at individually, taking into consideration the particular people that are directly impacted by the criminal conduct. And so I think that just looking, knowing all that we have to look at, and also that we, you know, have to follow the law, obviously, and what we can do in terms of consequences and what we can advocate for is dependent upon what the law allows. So we don't necessarily get to have whatever outcome we think perhaps on a more personal level would be most appropriate. So and the same is true for the judges. So I think that that's maybe something that folks don't necessarily out in the public know. And also the process of subpoenaing and the number of cases that we do have to reach out to folks within the community. And, you know, I recently had an individual that provided some information to law enforcement, and that particular information was something that we felt we needed to present at trial, and that resulted in a subpoena having to be sent out. And that we have the subpoena power, that's an important aspect of being able to do our jobs and present our cases and the evidence within the courtroom. And there was a bit of a misunderstanding as if there was some sort of punitive purpose behind, you know, subpoenaing these folks. And like so many things, I think communication and having a conversation oftentimes helps alleviate these concerns that, you know, might be triggered when we don't have a good understanding of what's taking place. So I really do hope to communicate to everyone that we are happy to discuss. If there's an issue, let's talk about it. So
subpoena is non-optional appearance? Is that kind of the functional definition of it?
It is. It really is. But the reality is that we also want to work with folks and community members that are, you know, trying to support and help law enforcement, perhaps by, you know, providing information. So if we learn about schedules, sometimes we're able to communicate that to the court and get a little bit of flexibility. But ultimately, the scheduling and when cases proceed, that final decision is up to the court.
When you say court, you mean judge?
The judge.
Outside looking in, sometimes it gets a little complicated. You made it through your first show. Congratulations. Well, okay, your first show was DA. Sorry.
It's a huge relief. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I appreciate that. See everybody tomorrow.